do? What do we do? That's right.
We ruined that thing.
Whoa, that's right, man.
I don't know if you caught that, but that absolute moron pointed a gun in my face and pulled the trigger. I'm not dead, obviously. I've been a little bit dead inside for about 27 years, but that's just due to the complications of my normal life. But my body is still here, thank God. And, you know, that just kind of explains what's been going on in the riots. And that kind of coverage will not be brought to you by CNN. Look at how they reported on the Kenosha riots.
In Kenosha and into the early evening, which were largely peaceful demonstrations in the face of law enforcement.
It's absolutely insane of the disinformation campaign from the mainstream media to try to cover up and twist what's really going on in this country, which is a civil war spawned by race riots. And that's happening. And I'm not going to hold back on that. And today's topic, which is just Kyle Rittenhouse, that's just the topic, is not going to be an extensive play-by-play of every single second and frame of why he did what he did, but I was there.
There's Elijah with his face uncovered, wearing his YouTube merch hat, slightly offensive, which is very easy to look up.
I was on the ground, and I really do have strong opinions on this kid, on the rioters. And I'm not going to hold back on this episode at all. And so we need to be real and honest and take a look at on-the-ground coverage from the best people that were there, including myself. Anyway, welcome back to the best worst show on Blaze TV, Slightly Offensive, with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer, nearly killed but still alive, talking about what might be, to some, a legend and to others, a homicidal maniac. We got this and a lot more coming up on today's show. First, I want to thank you so much for always supporting our sponsors. Today's sponsor is Black Rifle Coffee Company. I'm going to take a sip of this Freedom Roast. Wow, I just became a better person by drinking it. And you can become a better person too. If you go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive using my code in the description, not only can you get access to the best damn cup of coffee that America has to offer, but you can get 20% off. And you might be asking yourself, well, Elijah, why would I order this coffee? Well, let me tell you. They have this thing called the Coffee Club. And if you go there right now, it's a free subscription service. You can order whatever you want. They have whole beans, they have ground roast, they have the coffee rounds, which can go into your Keurig or one-time serving coffee maker. They also have canned coffee. For those of you on the road, I like the espresso with cream, just FYI. It's actually pretty damn good. But if you go there right now, you can get everything that you want shipped to your office or home with free, and you get 20% off. So why not go there? And on top of that, every other coffee company basically is run by liberals. You ever notice in coffee companies, they're always like, the people look weird. You can't tell their identity. It's like their sexual expression and gender expression is about as complicated as my order at Starbucks. Exactly. Well, Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned, veteran-operated. They donate to first responders, to police. I mean, it's just the company that you got to back. Anyway, back them and back us by backing them. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive. Using my code to get 20% off. You won't regret it. And you won't be in trouble like our friend Kyle Rittenhouse, who's currently being booked on first-degree charges of intentional homicide for the shooting of three individuals whom, because they are deceased and because they are injured and they are technically victims in a criminal case, I will not be naming them by name, but you can search them up on my Twitter. Go to @ElijahSchaefer. It's all there. Anyways, I was in the Kenosha riots. Check me out. Look at thee. I'm with the homies. All right, I was blending in multiple nights with my Black Lives Matter shirt because nothing says virtue signaling and that I'm in support of the cause, like not only wearing a shirt from Black Lives Matter, but also burning some buildings down. And that's what we did. We burned a few buildings down. You've seen this footage. Yeah, and that was going on. A lot of that was going on. This was not a peaceful night. It wasn't fiery, but peace, mostly peaceful. It was absolutely insane, violent, dangerous, and take it or not, it was fiery. It was actually called arson. And then I ran into this green shirt wearing gentleman who I find out later is 17 years old. And I have this interaction with him. as he emulates the rooftop Koreans in Los Angeles.
All right, so this is the buddy's business. What are you guys doing out here?
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed by a person in the crowd.
So you had non-lethal, but you didn't respond.
We don't have non-lethal.
So you guys are full on ready to defend the property?
Yes, we are. Hey, now, if I can ask, can you guys step back? Hey. Medical, EMS right here.
I'm an EMT. You guys need a medic?
Yeah, well, this kid, cutting to the chase, if you don't already know, shot three individuals earlier in the night. Or later, I say, after this, but early in the night, per se. Around 11:48 to 11:52 p.m., according to the timestamps on my footage, he killed two of them. One has to have reconstructive surgery on his arm. But let me start by saying, before we get into the night's events, just damn, Kyle. I mean, one 17-year-old back the blue patriot takes out three commies and keeps control of his firearm, whether or not he's innocent or guilty of his crimes. I mean, where can I get some Kyle Rittenhouse gun training? That's like a whole new business. This guy means business and he knows what he's doing. I wouldn't mess with back the blue people. That's just my opinion. Apparently it's enough to get you killed. But let's talk about what happened play by play in the night. So over those two nights, I got this report from police scanners, which said that there were militia or anti-rioter militia that were coming in and they were suspicious looking. Why were they suspicious? Well, because they had rifles. Now, it is an open carry state. Wisconsin is, but you know, people in military fatigues walking through the street with long rifles, it might be legal, but it's suspicious, right? Kind of like people walking into banks with masks. I don't get it, but it's now mandatory. So I run into the militia and I'm trying to find out what's going on. And they tell me this.
As long as you fuck with the government and not with each other, we are with you.
So I don't know if this militia is the same militia that I showed you from the interview with Kyle Rittenhouse, but I will tell you this. Every militia that I ran into and interviewed had two things in common. Number one, they looked badass. No, I'm just kidding. They did, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. Number one, they seemed to be in support of the rioters. They were like libertarians, a lot of them, and they seemed to be really okay with people being mad at the government. And in some ways, kind of sinisterly, I don't agree with rioting, but I do think it's okay to rebel against the government. It's just an old freedom-loving thing that I hold. Just like my freedom-loving roast, Black Rifle Coffee, shout out, what up? But isn't that so funny? You drink Black Rifle in a Starbucks cup. I collect these when I go around. I don't like the coffee at Starbucks, but I do like the cups. Anyway, they said that they supported them. And so this whole narrative that these militia were anti-BLM rioter is false. Okay? Whether you disagree with them or not, whatever. Doesn't matter. They were the ones there, not you. Number two, they were all against people destroying private property, which is also a very libertarian idea. I don't understand libertarians. I don't get who they are or why they exist. Maybe some of you are libertarians. You do you, and they did themselves. And I know that. But I know there was this other interview from Daily Caller photojournalist and videographer Richie McGinnis, who was on the scene with me feet away from the shooting that we both witnessed. And he got a better in-depth look at really what Kyle Rittenhouse's intentions were. Check this out.
What are you doing out here? Obviously, you're armed and you're in front of this business we saw burning last night. So what's up?
So people are getting injured and our job is to protect this business. And part of my job is to also help people. If there's somebody hurt, I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my rifle, because I need to protect myself, obviously. But I also have my med kit.
So yeah, this guy does not seem like a white supremacist. In fact, according to a speeding ticket he received back on August 4th, he's listed as Hispanic. But on his current charges, he's listed as Caucasian, Kyle Rittenhouse. So either he is Hispanic or he's Caucasian or he's a white Hispanic, which is what they use to try to make people look like they are white supremacists. But Kyle Rittenhouse seems to be an EMT who's offering aid to rioters, and he's carrying a gun for self-defense purposes, not for offensive purposes, which is an important factor. Seems like a nice enough kid. I will note that I do not believe that at 17 in Wisconsin, you have the right to open carry a long rifle. I could be wrong. There might be some interesting things. I know that you can for hunting. I think it's 12 to 14 if you're supervised by an adult. But at 17, I know his mom dropped him off, apparently. Drove 20 miles to drop him off. Mom award of the year. But I'm sure she's happy that he's alive. But I'll tell you this, why were the militia there? The militia were there, this guy was there, because the rioters were destroying public property. The event had been declared a riot. This was going on about an hour before this, right at the courthouse.
Stop. Ah! Stop.
Yeah, that's a lot of gas that I was caught in. And the only reason why I cursed, okay, I'm sorry. I have a reactionary spirit. Sometimes I get upset when I see people's heads get blown off or I get caught in a giant cloud of tear gas that burns my pores. I'm sorry for offending your ears while I am putting myself in harm's way. Oops, my bad. Anyway, these people were definitely on an illegal street because there was a curfew placed for 8 p.m. I think even that night it might've been 7 p.m. There was a state of emergency. They were declared an illegal activity. They were cleared out of the park in front of the courthouse. And now they're on the streets rioting. And I'm getting tear gassed and I'm trying not to get hit by more pepper balls or rubber bullets. I get tired of it. You know, I do. Some people ask me, Elijah, do you like getting shot by rubber bullets? They don't ask. They've never asked me that, but I'm just hypothetically saying if you were a moron, like the guy who tried to pull a trigger of a gun in front of me. Yeah, I do get tired of it. I don't really like it. It's kind of like having an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours while taking Viagra. It's like, yeah, it's like pretty intense, but it's not really something you want. So, like, and that is a real side effect. My brain works very weird. I don't know why I said that. Sorry, Grandma. My grandma watches this show almost every episode. And so I'm sorry for making a genital joke, Grandma. I really am. I'm very sorry. I might do it a few more times in today's episode. I'm warning you, but I'll be more classy with it. But just to put you into perspective of how moronic these idiots are, the reason why the rioters, people don't talk about this, but the reason why the rioters and the militia people started being antagonistic towards each other was after this moment where BLM rioters first lit a fire with cones on the street, which I'm not going to show you because it's not even impressive. And then the militia put it out. But then they lit a dumpster on fire and they pushed it towards a gas station. Look at this.
Do that one more again. Do that one more time. I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, I don't know how smart or not smart you have to be, but fire, gas station equals MC squared, connections, death of George Floyd. Oh yeah, you shouldn't push a burning dumpster next to a gas station that you're within 15 feet of. That's just common sense. And they're lacking it. They're lacking it. And they got pissed. They got upset, which is where we first see one of the victims who's now deceased that is accused of being a child sex offender in Kenosha County, but is unconfirmed on national registries. So I don't know. He yells at the militia to shoot him N-word. That clip was captured by Julio Rosas of Town Hall. You should check him out. Both him and Richie's links are in the description. Incredible journalist, doing amazing work, better than myself, actually. I'm just a wee little lad, and a wee little lad am I. I'm broken in the brain, guys. I'm broken. I can't even cry anymore. I only cry sometimes when I think about my mom dying. That hurts my heart. But man, these people, I feel no sympathy at all. But this is what was happening. This is what was going on. There was an altercation. They were mad at the militia for putting out a fire at a gas station, and they started yelling at them to shoot them. And that's when the part of the story that people keep missing. They keep missing that part of the story. And so I'm going to show you this. These are the clips that I took, timestamped, within 45 seconds of the shooting. Each of these clips is a couple 15 to 30 seconds apart. I've timestamped all of this, just so you know. And I've helped the New York Times with their timeline. I've helped the Washington Post. and I've helped ABC and a few other people. So my footage and my account is being used by the establishment media to reconstruct a narrative. And this is important because the reason why the truth is coming out is because of the reporters like myself on the field that are capturing this are honest people. We really are. And a lot of the people are. Richie McGinnis of Daily Caller, George Ventura, Shelby Talcott of Daily Caller. I'm going to put all their links in the description. Kaylin Dalmeida of Scriber News, who was there reporting for the Next News Network. Drew Hernandez of Lives Matter Show. And most importantly, but not least, the artificial intelligence computer, Andy Ngo. You know, Andy Ngo is not a real person. He's actually a supercomputer that it was designed by somebody to hunt Antifa. Andy Ngo is artificial intelligence. That's a conspiracy theory I'd like to spread. Buttons. Why am I doing this with my show? Anyway, this isn't funny. Watch these peaceful protesters just completely destroy this car lot. All right, so on that last clip, you see them starting to light a fire in an Infiniti SUV. Now, if you freeze frame it, you can see at some point Kyle Rittenhouse coming on the other side of the car. So I'm standing on the other side of a car as Kyle and the victim. Now, I don't know what's true. People say that a guy fired a pistol in the car lot. Other people say it was Kyle Rittenhouse firing a warning shot first. All I can tell you is before Kyle Rittenhouse unloaded on this alleged sex offender, there was a shot that was fired. Okay, I heard it. You heard a shot go off. The New York Times has documented muzzle fire. Other people have documented it from the street. I don't know. This is not the video. If you want to watch more detail, go to John Doyle. John Doyle is actually a good person, and he's incredible at what he does. He's a YouTuber. He's incredibly intelligent. I'm just like a retard with a phone that laughs at my own bad humor in my bedroom. That's literally my show. And John Doyle is an ideologue. I'm not. I just show you crazy stuff and we like trip out together. It's like an acid trip at the real world. Anyway, so he unloads and I wasn't able to license the footage for this. So I can't get the clip of them shooting. But I ran. I'm sorry. I run for a second. Then I came back and I filmed this footage of the now deceased, which we'll probably get this video age restricted, but whatever, let's do it. This was the scene that I, right after running away, I came back and Richie McGinnis, the journalist, had started clotting the wound on his head.
What happened?
All right, so after this, Kyle ends up calling maybe the police or his mom, I don't know, but he ends up running into the street. Other journalists chase after him. I was staying at the scene to track what was going on with the shooting, make sure that the guy got into a car. So I didn't chase it because obviously there's a guy that got his head blown off literally in front of me. Not good. But Kyle chases after these individuals. And I want to remind you that the individuals he shot, look at these pictures. They tried to hit him with a skateboard and the other one tried to shoot him and he was not even allowed to have a gun either. So if you want to make the case that Kyle shouldn't have had a gun, this other guy shouldn't have had a gun either because he had felony gun charges. But the guy with the skateboard who hit him, who's now deceased, who I will not mention his name, was a convicted abuser. And he assaulted his girlfriend and completely beat her up. It was really a bad case. The guy who was killed and shot in the head was an alleged sex offender in 2003 or 2004 of having fiddly diddling with a kitty. And the guy that was shot in the arm that is receiving reconstructive surgery is here. He's online with his friends talking about how he wishes he would have unloaded his clip and killed Kyle Rittenhouse. So I have to say in the end of all this, I think Kyle Rittenhouse is justified in his killings of these people. number one. I don't know legally his idea of protecting property, but I just don't know why we're demonizing Americans for wanting to protect American cities. Like, why is it a problem that Americans are out? Like, why are we demonizing the guy who's protecting a business and not like thanking him? Like, Kyle, thank you for your service. I know when I report, I try to be as objective as possible, and people give me crap for that on the right wing. Like, you're not, you know, patriotic enough. Oh, shut the hell up. You know, there's things that go beyond your opinion. It's called the truth. And on this show, it's my opinion. Okay. I always tell people I'm somewhere on the right wing. There's other kids that, you know, cry in their bedroom. Like, oh, he says he's a California conservative. Well, I'm out there actually risking my life. Well, you enjoy, you know, crying and complaining about people in your mom's house or wherever you type behind a keyboard and complain about how everyone's not as conservative as you are. But others of us are actually shaping the national narrative and doing real work. We don't just bitch complain in our mom's house. That's the truth of the matter. So, you know, I'm not going to go super hard and ideologue on this stuff. I'm going to try to stay objective when I can. And on my show, I will report. That's just the truth. And, you know, and that brings the matter up. The left wing does the same thing as the right wing. They're like, oh, you're this or that. You need to have more sympathy for the victims. Well, I don't. Okay. I just don't. I don't have sympathy for them. I don't. I really don't have sympathy for them. I just do not. They were rioters. They were vandalizing a place. And do crimes get wrecked? That's what I have to say. But I don't think they deserve to die because of their criminal histories. I'm not going to take the Candace Owens approach on the George Floyd. Like, well, they were bad people, so they deserve to die. I don't think they deserved to die. I think them attacking Kyle Rittenhouse with a skateboard, a pistol, and trying to jump him is what makes them deserve to be shot. I think Kyle's been memed in history, and that's my thoughts on Kyle. Luckily, he has good legal fund. I was going to do a GoFundMe, but I'm not allowed to. My contract, I'm not supposed to do activism. I'm supposed to stay objective, so I'm not going to. But luckily, some other people out there have GoFundMes. Check them out. And Nick Sandman's lawyer has offered to represent him pro bono. So let's see if Kyle can get the charges dropped, if he can get out of jail. And if he's guilty, I still believe he's in the right. Sometimes what's right is called wrong, and what's wrong is called right. Kyle is a hero in my eyes, and I feel sorry for him. I do. And next time commies come up on a patriot like that, watch out. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I want to remind you guys, if you've made it this far in the episode, that means you really do love this podcast and you do follow it closely. And so I need you guys to go to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive right now, and please sign up using my code in the description. It's what funds these trips. It's what keeps the show going. It's what puts bread on the table. I think I'm hiring a little bit of a bigger team so I can get more content out. I've been trying to get more content out. So go to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive right now. And also, if you are like, I don't want to pay for that. Maybe you're poor. You don't have the money. I get it. It's hard times. A free way you can support the show is going to Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, or Spotify, and subscribe to the audio only. And then leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts in the link below. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us out a lot. If we can get up to 1,000 reviews, then we look like we're one of the big guys, and we just look cooler. No, it actually helps us with getting advertisers to fund the show. But anyways, guys, thank you so much again for watching. Have a great rest of the week. My name is Elijah Schaefer, reporting on Kyle Rittenhouse. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.